what do you remember very best from meeting your husband in 1985 about Gene Kelly?
Well, the grand irony is that I didn't know who Gene Kelly was when I met Gene Kelly, so that's what always baffles people. That's hard to believe, but I think in retrospect it was really the way to meet him, because I got to know the man before I fell in love with the image of the guy up on the screen. So what I remember most was I fell in love with his use of language. I fell in love. He was this wonderful blend of this erudite gentleman and this Pittsburgh street kid, and I was absolutely enchanted. And one of his favorite things was poetry, and that was my study in graduate school and word origins, and we shared that affinity. And so we sat in a room and quoted poetry back and forth and played word games, and I was enchanted.
I know you hear this all the time, but I did not know that about Gene Kelly. Who were some of his favorite poets?
He was particularly, he loved the romantic poets, so Keats, and Yeats was one of the first that we shared. He was particularly fond of the Irish poets and playwrights, and but we quoted E.E. Cummings and Dylan Thomas, and that was one of the, I had a great opportunity to speak at Roman's Bookstore last week about the literary life of Gene Kelly, and people were just walked out shaking their heads. They had no idea that he was good friends with Thornton Wilder and Samuel Beckett and Carl Sandburg and Ray Bradbury, and had deeply influenced some of their work, and writers like John O'Hara. And so that was really what we bonded over, and that's why it's really fun for me to be able to share these sides of Gene with audiences, because it's like opening up an entirely new dimension for people.
It really is. That's an aspect of him I never knew until just now. How did you?
Well, you've got to come to the show.
I'm coming. How did you come to create the show?
Well, he was Gene would have been 100 years old in 2012, and I knew that people were going to be celebrating him all around the world, and he was very particular in everything, but he was also very particular in how he wished to be remembered, and he wanted to be known more for creating what you see on the screen, for choreographing and directing, than actually for appearing on the screen. And so he spent hours with me describing how and why he created the numbers that he did, and how he worked to change the look of dance on film, and how he created a particularly American style of dance. And so I thought that to really celebrate him, what would be nice would be to celebrate him the way he wished to be remembered, and that's essentially what this show is. And I created it I had the great privilege, he brought me out here. After I didn't know who he was, he brought me out here from the East Coast to write his memoir, and ended up marrying me 5 years into that process. So I recorded him almost every day for 10 years, and that's the story that I'm sharing with audiences. And the most frequent comment I hear from people after the show is, I didn't know that. And so it's a very personal look at the man, and as a creative artist and as a romantic, and I think it's just very fun, because people don't realize that he spoke French fluently, spoke Italian, he was a Shabbos goy who spoke Yiddish, frequently read a book a day, was an economics major. I mean, it just goes on and on, the list goes on and on.
Incredible Renaissance man.
Exactly, that's the description of him.
When you talked with him about how and why he created the numbers that he did, what's one of those that you're going to be sharing with your audience in Gene Kelly, The Legacy?
Well, one of my favorites, and one that he loved, was the newspaper dance in Summer Stock. And I think I speak in a lot of high schools, and young people really love it because it's so athletic and so dynamic and so exciting to watch. And yet it's a very simple thing. It's just based on a squeaky board and a torn newspaper, and yet the audience is, it's really fun, because I sit on stage as the clips are running, and I hear the comments from the audience, and there's a lot of laughter, and as people hear the squeaky board and the wit of it. And he said to me that he didn't realize it at the time, but looking back as we ran it, he said he could see the nuances of his great hero, Buster Keaton, had seeped into that one in particular.
I'll have to be looking for that as we see the show. What is some of the memorabilia that you share with your audience that you'd like to preview?
Well, it's there are a lot of different things. Some of the things that I just, I unpacked and found after he died, and some of the how astonishing that is when you go to the bottom of a box and pull something out. And so I won't have a complete spoiler on all of this, but there are things that are related to like his journals and things that I found. And few people know that he was an ambassador, cultural ambassador to Africa in 1964, and that he went there and spoke French with the then president of Senegal, Leopold Senghor, and they both spoke French and quoted poetry back and forth, and talked about the great African-American poets Langston Hughes and County Cullen and the great dancer Catherine Dunham. And so again, that's another side that people just have no idea about.
I had none. Absolutely. I'm sitting here amazed. When you get onto the stage in Gene Kelly, The Legacy, what lesson that you learned from your husband about creating good entertainment do you take with you?
Well, I think one of the things is I kind of crafted the show. I used to go with him on the road when he was doing a one-man show, an evening with Gene Kelly. And one thing that I realized was that even if he was speaking to a crowd of over 3,000 people, it always had the feeling of great intimacy, as though we were just sitting in the room, in a living room, listening to him and having a chat. And I think that, if anything, that probably infuses my what I do more than anything, because it's not a lecture. I'm not up there yapping at people. It's just to share, and it has that quality that we're just sitting around having a cup of coffee or exchanging stories. And so I think that was probably the greatest thing to watch him, that way he could take a room, and it was spellbinding to watch.
So intimacy is something to keep in mind when you create entertainment. As we wrap up here, what would you most like anybody, in addition to creating an intimate experience, to know about being a good entertainer, good artist, good dancer, as your husband was incredible, from him?
I think the pursuit of excellence, the dedication to craft, that you... And then the one thing that he said that I think is really key, and he said that the greatest challenge was that you create something that is both contemporary and timeless. And I think that I hope young people will pay attention to that, because I think a lot of people can figure out how to create something that's contemporary and may sell a lot of tickets right now, but we're not going to be watching it 60 years later or 100 years later. And I think Gene, by being way ahead of his time so often, really captured this quality of a contemporary nature, which is why we're still watching these things and they're still inspiring young people and they're timeless. And I think that's really the key.
Mrs. Kelly, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. And I hope you'll join us at the Pasadena Playhouse. Thank you very much.